Inside the International Joint Venture announced by Grone Brothers Aviation. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is David Grone of Grone Brothers Aviation, which created some news over the weekend when it was announced that there was a new joint venture with a company in China involving a new wholly owned subsidiary of Grone Brothers Aviation, which will, in essence, take over the Sparrowhawk light gyroplane line, which was a kit available in the U.S. for the past several years, and move forward with it, and also pick up some new technology that has not been in the Sparrowhawk previously, transferred from Grone Brothers, and that this company will be an ownership split between GBA and the Chinese company. And we're here to talk a little bit about what that means and maybe what it doesn't mean. And David, thanks for taking some time out to talk with our listeners today.
You're welcome, sir, and I appreciate your inviting me to come and speak with you all. I haven't in a long time, I must apologize for. But this is important enough that we thought it worthwhile for us to give you some clear answers to some questions that can't help but pop up over what news we've announced over the weekend.
Okay, let's start by going back a couple of years to early 2008. The last time Grone Brothers made front page news in the general aviation community at large was the announcement that the Sparrowhawk would be discontinued in production and that Grone Brothers would be skinnying down the staff. Tell us about what happened to the DARPA project, because I think a lot of people have a misunderstanding about how that all wrapped up or what its current status is.
As many of you know, the Grone Brothers Aviation was hired by DARPA to lead a program to develop a 400-mile-an-hour vertical takeoff and landing rotor wing aircraft. Phase one of that effort is the phase, as is with any of the other DARPA programs, that is the hardest to accomplish. It's the magic part. It's the part where you find out whether or not there's any chance of what DARPA wants you to do as possible, as well as go through all of the analysis, and I mean extensive, huge amounts of work to through analysis, and in our case, a great deal of wind tunnel testing as well, to come up with a solution that says this will work and sufficient evidence to make believers of the U.S. government. And we succeeded at that. The Phase 1 program for DARPA Heliplane was successful. We met all of the goals of the program. Before Phase 2 was to start, the director, Dr. Tether of DARPA, wanted to spend a small amount of money to determine whether or not we were able to make the tip jets quieter than they ended up being. At that point, that part of the program was led by Georgia Tech, and Grone subcontracted under that program. And at the end of that, which was called Phase 1B, that also was successful. We met the numbers on that program as well. By the time that was over, well, you all know what was going on in the economy the last few years, and there was a couple of wars going on. So the government didn't have the money to spend on this kind of program carrying it forward. They expected they would. Heliplane continues to be a DARPA program. It's just not yet a funded program for its subsequent phases. For us, we had all our eggs in that basket. And it wasn't so much that we were trying to have all our eggs in our basket or in that basket or betting on it that way. It's that it took that in order for us to accomplish what DARPA asked us to do. And in fact, we were understaffed and shorthanded all the way through that program, and yet still met the goals. But what it caused is us to not give Sparrowhawk its due course, what we should have done with Sparrowhawk, both in marketing and support to customers and getting the aircraft right and so on. We're far slower on that and far less support to the buying public of that really neat aircraft than we wanted to be or than we certainly should have been. And so when DARPA did not start Phase 2, when that stayed unfunded, we just didn't have the resources to keep at the rate we were. I mean, we were nearly 100 employees at that time on the DARPA program, and not having a move-forward program was not something we could tolerate. And so in trying to survive, we were forced to lay off all but about 6 employees of the company and hunker down and did the best we could to survive. Some months into that, by fall of 2008, our single largest investor in the company came to us with some what we think are brilliant plans on how to get us and our technology where it, in our opinion, by all rights, belongs, and took over the financial needs of the company at that time. So since October of 2008, our day-to-day operating needs have been met by a single investor, and we've been able to continue to keep our technology and our understanding and what our comparative advantage is alive and viable. During that time, we were approached by a company in China that was interested in doing a joint venture on the Sparrowhawk program. And we spent a year and a half or more working out the details of what that would be. And this was not a simple or easy thing to accomplish, but we finally did and ended up with an agreement that was happy for both sides of the equation. And that included transferring to the joint venture the whole of our Sparrowhawk program and some additional advanced technology that is advanced, meaning it's more advanced than any other general plane that's out there or has been out there, and yet is still not the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. Our heliplane program really moved our understanding and knowledge and capabilities as far as sustained auto-rotated flight is concerned, way beyond where we were before that program began. And so this technology that we are transferring to the joint venture is important, is advanced, will make big improvements to the Sparrowhawk program itself, and yet is technology that we would not be taking forward otherwise, simply because we're a whole generation beyond that in what we have as far as advanced aeroplanes are concerned.
My guest is David Grone of Grone Brothers Aviation. More of our conversation in a moment. I'm Paul Platt, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with David Grone of Grone Brothers Aviation about a new joint venture with a Chinese partner, which is expected to bring the Sparrowhawk kit gyroplane back into the U.S. market. David, let me ask you about the Sparrowhawk's fit within the Grone Brothers Aviation vision, because obviously, it was a well-received kit within the gyroplane community. It solved some stability issues that had plagued the safety record of the segment. And yet, it always seemed that given where Grone Brothers intended to go, the Sparrowhawk was a bit of an odd fit. What role did it play, and what did GBA accomplish with the Sparrowhawk during the time you had it in production as a kit?
The We went into the Sparrowhawk for one reason, and that was to improve the safety record of gyroplanes. There were things that we had learned during our many years and millions of dollars worth of research that wasn't widely understood in the kit world. And so what we had tried to do before we built an aircraft of our own to sell into that world was convince other manufacturers to allow us to do some redesign work for them so that their aircraft would then have appropriate stability and safety. And we were just continually turned down, even though we were offering to do it without charge. We still, those entities were afraid of what liability they might be taking on by admitting they had a problem and permitting us to do redesign work. So essentially, we got into Sparrowhawk. There was never a business case for it that made sense for a company that was set up to do type certified aircraft. I mean, we had single pieces of equipment that were the cost of $1 million, you know, and so there's just nobody building kit gyroplanes that has the kinds of investment in what it takes to design and develop an aircraft that it would for a certified aircraft. And so there's no chance a kit aircraft can provide the kind of revenue a company set up like ours with the kind of investment that we had would make any sense. So, but the business case was, we're going to sell a lot of aircraft into a new burgeoning gyroplane world as certified aircraft, and that's going to be tough to do if the kit world has a bad reputation and is killing people. So, there's our best business case. From our heart, it was we just sick the death of the carnage, and so we built a, you know, made a, an aircraft available that we knew didn't have a, wasn't going to make any money for us. I mean, there's just no way it could. But did it anyway, and our intent was to support it properly. But we got this Heliplane Award from DARPA, and even though during that time we still did the best we could to support the Sparrowhawk program, our ability to keep sufficient human resource on board just to support Heliplane was less than what it should have been. So it's just nigh on impossible to properly support Sparrowhawk.
The other part of the question is, what did Sparrowhawk accomplish for the long-term goals of Grone Brothers Aviation aside from sales?
In my opinion, and again, this is a personal David Groen opinion, I think that putting Sparrowhawk into that marketplace at least got everybody on board, or near everybody on board, with the importance of stability for the aircraft. To quote Jim Mayfield, stability isn't an opinion. Mm-hmm. It either is or it isn't. I mean, it's a demonstrable fact. It's not an opinion. And so we didn't have the commercial success that we expected Sparrowhawk could have and certainly deserved to have. But what we did do is get everybody to care a lot about safety in gyroplanes and instability, and the worst offenders seem to have gone away, and everybody else seems to be paying a whole bunch more attention to getting the thrust vectors and CG where it belongs. As I've said for years, you could fly a refrigerator underneath an auto-rotating rotor if you don't want to go very fast, or if you don't care a whole lot about stability.
Yes.
I mean, this is why poor designs are able to fly, because a sustained auto-rotating flight system, you know, an auto-rotating rotor would haul anything around and pretty easy to do. But to get all of the dynamics correct takes having an understanding that just simply wasn't widely available when we first started doing this.
All right, before I completely leave the topic, and I do want to leave it because obviously the Sparrowhawk itself is a fairly tiny minority interest within GA. Is there anything left to prove in small gyroplanes for Grone Brothers, or from this point on, is it all about the bigger commercial, industrial, military stuff?
We actually have a new and advanced all-composite two-place design, a tandem two-seat aircraft, and it's really a class of aircraft. There'll be essentially five models of that vehicle. And it's an amazing aircraft. I mean, those numbers that are coming out on this thing, pretty impressive. Not a kit. There may indeed be a light sport aircraft variant of that aircraft, but the primary aircraft will be a fully type certificated two-place gyroplane. Tandem seat, primarily for the air surveillance markets. And when I say air surveillance, I really mean aerial patrol of any kind, border patrols, pipeline, power line, the works, as well as just simply having fun in a light rotor wing aircraft that is well designed and well built and backed up by having had a type certificate.
Well, that'll be the first new type certificate since sometime in the mid-1960s?
Well, since 62, I think. In addition to that, and parallel to it, and may even happen first, is a seven-place all-composite aircraft we call the Aerohawk that is, again, taking everything we learned in the Hawk 4 program and adding to that are the capabilities that we developed during the Heliplane program. Even though there's technologies we've developed at Heliplane we can't use on an international program, our know-how, our understanding, our ability to design the real high end of what this technology can lead to, we developed during Heliplane. And so we've used those tools to help us get both these aircraft right. And I'm just in agony looking forward at, I say agony, I mean, I dream about flying these aircraft at night. When I'm asleep, I fly these aircraft at night. And when I wake up, I'm in agony that they're not around yet for me to fly.
Tomorrow, in the second and concluding segment of this conversation, moving past the recent headlines, what lies ahead for the company and for this entire form of flight? David Groen is Chairman, President, CEO, and CFO of Groen Brothers Aviation. Find out more at groenbros.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.